To learn Junzman, it's much fewer distractions, and the limud of Yichud is a particularly good limud, because Be'ezras Hashem, even in the rather truncated time of this man, we can Be'ezras Hashem do the whole thing, meaning to say all the Gemaras, the Shonim, and as well as learning at Aliba de Hilchasa. It's a small and relatively self-contained sugya. In other words, it's one parak in the Rambam, it's one simon in Shulchan Aruch, it's, you know, a blot and a half of Gemara here and scattered here and there. So, as opposed to most topics where to really learn everything is very difficult and takes a long time, here in just a couple of weeks, we should be able to do everything. I think the way we're going to organize it is we'll follow more or less the Seder of the Gemara, and as we go through each topic, Be'ezras Hashem, we will we'll look at what the Rishonim say as well as the Poskim and talk about the Halach Lamaisa questions. As you probably realize, it's a very Nogeya Lamaisa Limud. Rabbanim get Halachos Yichud questions all the time. And then at the end, when we're finished, we'll try to fill in the gaps, because not every question will come up following the Seder HaGemara. And what I would recommend you're doing at the end, as we go through it, so you'll see many of the simanim, seifim, and the Shulchan Aruch along the way. So when we're finished the Gemara, we'll have a chance to go through, as it were, both chazer and see what we've missed, the Seder HaShulchan Aruch and Seder HaRambam. In terms of Sfarim, people have asked me, so the basic Gemara and Rishonim, you've been doing the whole year. As you might have noticed, some of the Rishonim peter out at the end, towards the end of the Masechta, so what can we do? But that's just like you've been learning the rest of the year in Kiddushin. The Rambam, we'll be doing all of the Tor, Beis Yosef, Shulchan Aruch, and Basic Nosei Kelim. And if anyone wants to buy Sfarim, you definitely don't need to. It is kedai to have a contemporary sefer on a topic like this. And that's because many of the modern questions are quite different than the questions that are being dealt with in the classical Nosei Kelim on the Shulchan Aruch. Some simanim and halacha are more or less unchanged since the times of the Shulchan Aruch, but other ones, including Hilchos Yichud, it's not going to talk about cars, and it's not going to talk about the video cameras, do they help or don't they help, and all sorts of very modern dilemmas. So there are a number of excellent Hilchos Yichud Sfarim. I happen to have one called the Divrei Sofrim. There are others which is very somewhat dense and very comprehensive. There are others, some that are even more recently published, which will have, I guess, psukim that are even more recent. In English, there's also Rabbi Ribiat has a Hilchos Yichud Sefer, which I was told, it was out of print for a while, but I was told you can now get it again or something like that, I'm not sure. So if you're looking to buy a Sefer, it's not a bad idea to have something contemporary. In terms of my giving you Mar Makomos, so today's going to be, I guess, unusual. Generally, the plan is I'll give you Mar Makomos for the next day, and you'll learn during afternoon Seder, and we'll have Shir at the beginning of afternoon Seder. Today we didn't have that. It'll be a little bit of a hakdama, and tomorrow I'll tell you what to do. Now, I was planning actually to give you Mar Makomos for tomorrow. Unfortunately, I had to make a shiva call during lunch, and I came back late, and therefore I don't have anything. But that's why I'll email you specifically what to do. Okay, so we'll start with the Mishnah. So Daf Pei Amud Beis in Kiddushin. Lo Yis Yachid Adam Im Shtei Nashim. Aval isha achas misyachedes im shnei anashim. Rashi says, im shtei nashim, ipnei shedaitan kala, v'shtei anochos lehispatos. So Rashi has to answer the question, which is, why should it be aser? Generally speaking, we think of yichud as being in isolation, one man and one woman. So the Mishnah immediately tells us that's not true. There's such a thing as yichud with even two women. One question that we'll consider, not immediately, is whether that is only iser aser midrabanan, or perhaps even midoraisa. Assuming for a moment that the general iser yichud is midoraisa, is the iser deoraisa of yichud only beseser, as the pasuk says, which would mean one and one, and any extensions like one man and two women, or even one woman and two men in the case of putzim or the like, all those extensions are only midrabanan, or are they even midoraisa? Another way to look at this question is yichud, does yichud mean being alone with another person and then they extended to other things, or no? Yichud is lav dafka being alone with another person. Yichud means being in... First of all, we know that, the Gemara will say explicitly, that we could have yichud even in a open area, if there aren't a lot of people around. So a person could be alone on a beach, even though it's wide open, or in the forest, or on the road, and still have yichud. So yichud clearly is not limited to being in a room. But again, more of a conceptual question is, do we say that yichud really means being together in a situation where there's a chashash bia, and there's no reason why that has to be limited to one and one. If there's a chashash bia in one man and two women, so memela, that's the definition of yichud. Or no, there is, yichud is one and one, at least midoraisa, and then they extended it to include other situations where there's a chashash bia, even though it's not technically yichud. And we'll have a chance to also see what difference that chakira makes as we go through today. Again, we'll raise a lot of questions, and hopefully as we go through the limud, we'll have a chance to see more. So Rashi tells us, why would there be a problem with shtei nashim? And he tells us what the Gemara is about to say in a minute. Mipnei shedatan kala, b'shtei hanochos lehispatos. So nashim daitan kala, that doesn't mean, as we'll see in the Gemara, that they're stupid. Maybe daitan kala, but they also have vina yisera. So apparently there's a difference between vina and das, as we know there are. But the way Rashi says it means is that they're easily seduced. They're more easily seduced, and therefore there's a concern that even when you have two women, there will be an avera. The lo tirazume chaverta, she'afhi ta'ase kamosa. So each one will not be afraid of the other one, because she too is going to do like the other one. There is a difference here between Rashi and the Ritva in terms of what exactly the concern is with Daitan Kalos. We'll do that tomorrow, Bezus Hashem, because I don't know if you had a chance to see that yet. And there are a number of nafkaminas how to understand Daitan Kalos. But let's say for the moment, Rashi understands that Daitan Kalos is that there's a concern that he will be mefata both of them. In other words, if one of them, let's say you had a situation where one of them was certainly not going to have bia, so then there wouldn't be yichud with either one. Why? Because Rashi says she would be the one that would do the act would be tira mechaverta. She would be afraid, and therefore there would be yichud with neither of them. And there is an iser yichud, though, as long as any time there's a concern that he might be boel both of them. That's what creates the iser yichud, the possibility that he would be boel both of them, and therefore, because there is that possibility, since daitan kalos, he could be mefate both of them, so memela, there is an iser yichud with even one man and two women. And that's why Rashi holds, this is Rashi later on, at the end of the Limud on Daf Pei Beis, Rashi has a chiddush where he says that one man and three women would be mutter. Many Rishonim disagree with this, but this logically follows what Rashi says over here. In the case of one man and three women, is he going to succeed in being mefata all three? Rashi says, presumably not. Well, once he can't succeed in being mefata all three, so memela, there's no iser yichud, because one person is not going to have bia, one of the women is not going to have bia, and then all the other people, all the other women, the two other women, will be afraid to do an aveira in her presence, and therefore, they only know their secret is safe if they're all in the same trouble, right? Because, you know, I'm not going to tell your secret because you'll tell my secret. So if we have a situation where we know that both of them won't do an aveira, then both of them will be afraid to do the aveira. However, if we have a situation where there's a concern that both of them will do an aveira, so then there's an iser yichud. And that explains another kula, which, according to Rashi, makes a lot of sense. We'll see in the Gemara later on Daf Pei Aleph on the base, where you have a situation where you have one man and two women, but one of the women will not do an aveira. Let's say she is 6 years old. So we assume that a six-year-old will not willingly, in other words, there's no chashash pitui, she doesn't have the same yetzer hara for Tashma Shamita, so the six-year-old isn't going to do the Aveira. So that saves the 15-year-old. So one man with a 15-year-old girl and a 6-year-old girl will be able to have Yichud. We say one man and two women is Aser. Answer is no, because assuming that the 6-year-old knows how to talk and assuming she doesn't have a Yetzer Hara to do an Aveira of this sort, so therefore, the other woman, the 15-year-old, will also be afraid to do the Aveira. And that's basically the situation that Rashi sets up. An interesting question to consider within Shitas Rashi would be, how does this affect the Shir? So, one of the discussions that does not appear in our parak is there a Shir for Yichud? And that might indicate that there is no Shir. After all, in the Yichud Sugyas and in all of Shas, there's no explicit discussion of a Shir of Yichud. There is a Shir discussed in a different context in terms of Sota, and the Gemara over there says all sorts of different opinions as to what would a Shir Yichud be, meaning to say, we know, just a Parshas HaShavua, that if you have a Kinoi Vestira, so then she would become a Surah Labayla. So how long does the stira need to be? The answer is long enough for her to possibly do an aveira. How long is that? So, frying an egg, this, that. Again, we'll have a chance to go ahead and look at some of those shiurim a little later, and we could consider how those relate to Hilchos Yichud. And is Hilchos Yichud, is there going to be an iser of chatzi shir or the like? But, so we'll talk more about the dinim of shir when we get there, but a relevance would be, according to this Rashi, let's say the normal shear of Yichud is, I'm going to make up a number, the poskim have quite a significant range on this. If anyone ever was a aid Yichud at a chasana, so they would know that the Masada Kedushin told them, you should stats out of the room for X number of minutes. What does that come from? That comes from, we want there to be a shear Yichud. Why? Because we're trying to create Yichud Arai Labia. That's one form of Nisuin. So that's why they say to the Adim, you know, stand out here in the room for, let's say, 9 minutes, and after 9 minutes, you know, knock on the door and you could leave. That's what that 9 minutes come from. So let's make up a shear. Again, what it is, we'll talk about later, but let's say it's 5 minutes. And what's the idea? The idea of 5 minutes is that There's no way they're going to have bia in less than 5 minutes. Now, part of that question, again, which we'll deal with when we talk about shiurim, is does that mean the physical act of bia, or no, the time it takes to be mefater, because Rashi talks about pitoy. Even though you could technically do it in less than 5 minutes, but he needs to be mefater and get her to agree. So, let's say you say that takes 5 minutes. Now, does that mean you're allowed to have yichud as long as you come out in less than 5 minutes? So we'll see that most poskim say no. Not true. It's still, chatzi shir is aser. Either because of the regular din of chatzi shir, or perhaps because we're afraid you won't come out after 5 minutes. After 4 minutes, you'll decide to stay an extra couple of minutes. But let's say you have a situation where it cannot be extended beyond that shir due to circumstances beyond your control. The classical example of that is an elevator. Let's assume that an elevator can open up, you know, any time after 10 seconds, right? I don't know, maybe the next floor it'll open, maybe the next floor, even if I don't press any buttons, so it will stay closed, but at any point it could possibly open. So assuming 10 seconds is less than the shir yichud, then most poskim, but not all, talk about elevators also, most poskim say it's okay, because that's not chatzi shir, it's only a problem of chatzi shir if it could come to a shir. Here, at least you don't have it in your control. So let's say the shir of yichud is 5 minutes. So if you had a situation where within 5 minutes the doors might open or somebody might come in or the like, so, and that's beyond your control, and within 5 minutes it would be okay. Let's say it's one man and two women, so what would the shir then be? According to Rashi, since the chashash is you'll be mefata both, you'd have a different shir, presumably. How long does it take to be mefata two women? If it takes 5 minutes to be mefata one woman, maybe it will take 10 minutes or more to be mefata two women. So, since Rashi holds that the reason why one man and two women is aser is because he might succeed in being mefata both of them, so then all of the parameters will have to be adjusted to this. So one nafkamina is the shir yichud. Another nafkamina is if you have a situation where one of the two women wouldn't agree and the like. Another important diuk that comes out from this Rashi, which we'll have a chance to again discuss as we go through this sugya, is the concern. So Rashi clearly understands that the concern for yichud is what? Pitoy. Now that's a very basic question that has to be asked. Is the concern, the basis for the yisr yichud, pitoy or ones, or perhaps both? What's the nafkamina? So the basic nafkamina is, if you were in a situation where there was no concern for pitoy, but a possibility of ones. Now, those types of situations could arise all the time. So, Rashi indicates that the concern here is pitoy. There might be other indications that that is the case. Again, as we go through, we'll have a chance to see rayos in each and every sugya as we go through it. One, perhaps, evidence to the contrary is the fact that we paskin, at least, the Rambam paskins, that what age is the Isser Yichud for females begin? Anyone know?
3 years.
3, okay. So let's say it would be Isser to have a Yichud with a 6-year-old girl, right? Now, is there a chashash pitoy for 6-year-old girls? So we just said before, it sounds like from the Gemara that there is no chashash, right? Why? Because the Gemara says that a 6-year-old girl could save you because she's not going to be susceptible to pitui. She's too young. So that would imply that it's chashash v'ones. So does that mean that we're also chosh v'ones? Or maybe only for ketana we're chosh v'ones? So you see how this is a very important question. So Rashi at the very least tells us that the concern is pitui or maybe also pitui. Right? Maybe here there's no concern for ones with one man and two women. You could be docha because you can't be manes two women. Maybe, usually, we are choshesh for ones. Here, there's no concern for ones, because if you try to be manes one woman, the other one will scream, the other one will start hitting you and throw a chair at your head, or whatever it is. So, therefore, it's only over here the concern is pitur. So, that's another question. Again, today we're just about a lot of questions. That you have to look for rayos as we go through the sugya. Look for rayos to this question: is the concern pitur ones? Rashi, at the very least, tells us that there is a concern for pitur. The question then in Rashi is: it only a concern of pitur? That is the opinion of many poskim, or no, that it's also a concern of pitur, but maybe ones as well. And maybe evidence for that was the Gemara that, or the Rambam at least, that says that there's a chshash of pitur for ktanim. Okay, so. Rashi continues in base nashim sha'echad bosh. Sorry, the Mishnah continues. Aval isha achas misyachedes im shnei anashim. So it's not equal in both directions. So every shaila in Hilchos Yichud that you're going to encounter as you go through the limud, you always have to ask, what is this? What's the difference for men or women? Are men and women the same in this respect? Are they different? There's both stadim lahachnir and lahakel for each one. We assume that men might be, you know, have more taivos and are more likely to have desires to do an avera than women. But on the other hand, we also say, like we see over here, that men are going to be bosh mechavero, and therefore there's kulas. So they're, with respect to men and women, there's kulas and chumras. So, and every, again, in every step, you have to ask, how does it apply? So, again, Rashi tells us what? That one woman and two men is mutter. Why? Because no avera is going to be done. Why? Each man might want to do an avera with this woman, but at the same time, he's boshmech avera. And therefore, it's mutter. The Mishnah continues. And here, there's two girsos in the Mishnah. How to read the whole Mishnah. On the one hand, we have our girsa, which we'll do first, and on the other hand, you have the girsa of the Rif, as well as Tosfos. So first, we had our girsa in the Mishnah. Reb Shimon Omer, Af Yishachad Misyached Im Shtei Nashim, Bizman Sheishto Imo. So Reb Shimon, according to our girsa, would presumably agree that, generally speaking, one man and two women is aser, but there's a special kula. What's the special kula? Ishto imo. Why is there kula for ishto imo? So we'll talk more about that as we go through and we see the sugya of ishto imo. But presumably, she is not going to let her husband do an avera with the other woman. Or perhaps he will be embarrassed to do this avera in front of his wife with the other woman. So therefore, in this case, there's no chshash that he'll be mefata both of them. And that's why it's mutter. Okay, one very important question, which you'll see, have to look through as you go through the sugya, is what is the gather of the heter of ishto imo? As you'll see, we have a heter of yichud of baila be'ir, and we have a heter of yichud of ishto imo. The fact that we use those terms differently, there's no sounds like ishto imo is much more narrow. Ishto imo as opposed to ishto be'ir. Baila be'ir is matir as long as he's in the city. Again, we have to define city also, but whatever that means, even though he's not here, mamish, whereas presumably the heter of ishto imo is much more narrow. Now, how narrow is still unclear. Does that mean imo in the room? Imo in the house? What about if he's in the garden? What about if he's in shul? And again, here too, there's going to be a very wide variation in the poskim. Some poskim make ishto imo almost the same as ishto be'ir. Others, among other things, because of the diuk we just said, are more machmir. Now, the thing to notice, though, is that according to our girsa, the Mishnah would seem to imply that the chachamim disagree with ishto imo, that there is no such heter. In which case, one would have imagined that we don't paskin like this heter of ishto imo, because presumably we paskin like the chachamim against Rabbi Shimon. And this is one reason why Tosfos is motivated to change the girsa, and we'll see Tosfos' girsa in a second, but according to Tosfos' girsa, everybody agrees to the Hatter Vishto Imo. In the end of the day, this particular machlokas probably won't make a difference, because as the Gra points out, even if you have our girsa, in the end of the day, you are going to accept the Hatter Vishto Imo. And that's why the Stam Gemara Avodah Zarah assumes we paskin that there's a Hatter Vishto Imo. Now, why we know that? So as the Gra points out, that might actually depend on how you understand the last Mishnah and the Chiddush of Kol Shasaka v'Imanashim Lo Yisyachid Imanashim. The Gra I'm referring to is the one over here on the Gilyon. Again, we'll get back to that later. But depending on your gear, so the Mishnah, so the Hatter Vishto Imo is subject to a machlokas tanayim, or perhaps is kulei alma. And the Mishnah continues, v'yashin imahem. We'll have to define what imahem is. V'yashin imahem mipnei she'ishto mishtamarto. So presumably that means, let's say with our girsa, the word imahem is going to possibly be a problem with Tosis's girsa. So, v'yashin imahem, let's assume that means with one woman plus your wife, or maybe imahem, two women plus your wife. So we'll get back to that. V'yashin imahem, mipnei shisha mishtamarta. Okay, so the Mishnah actually tells us why ishto works. Ishto ima works because ishto mishtamarta. Misyachid adam im imo v'im bito. So now the Mishnah tells us a exception to yichud, very close relatives. Again, the major issue we have to discuss, we'll get to this in the Gemara on Pei Aleph on the base, is all close relatives. The Mishnah only mentions imo and bito. What about everybody else? What about sister? What about father and daughter? What about grandchildren? I would have thought that the Mishnah is very narrow in what it permits, so we'll have to discuss that. And moreover, we have this other sugya now of v'yashin imam b'kiruv of basar. So again, we'll get to that in the Gemara as well. Is this just a pashup shot in the Mishnah? In the olden days, it was very common for people to sleep without any clothing on. Pajamas only became popular more recently, apparently. So what we're saying over here is that when the children are younger, a mother could sleep with her son or a father with his daughter, b'kiruv basar, meaning to say without clothing in the same bed. And when they get a little older, v'nigdilu, zu yashena b'ksusa v'zeh yashen b'ksusa. So there's no iser yichud. Still mutter for, let's say, the father to have yichud with his daughter, even when she's older. Again, we'll have to define what higdilo is. The Gemara will discuss that as well. But even when they're older, there is a heter to have yichud. But what remains aser is, what is aser is lishon b'kiruv basar. So we basically have two things. We have when is it mutter to have yichud with close relatives, and then when is it mutter lishon b'kiruv basar, and they don't share the same shear. And again, the details of all these we'll get to in a Gemara. Yeah.
Is there a general iser b'kiruv basar?
Like between who and who?
Between men and women.
So if they're married, there's not. If they could have bia, then there's obviously no iser b'kiruv basar. If we have a situation where there's an iser yichud, so obviously there's nothing to talk about. You forget kiruv basar, you can't have yichud. Even presumably it would be aser even if it wasn't a matzav of yichud, like there are a bunch of other people in the room also, it still would be aser because of kiruv basar. So kiruv basar is obviously much more when there's an iser bia, so kiruv basar is more chamor than yichud. Even in cases where yichud is mutter, then kiruv basar is aser. The only time, basically, the Mishnah is telling us that Kiruv Basa is ever going to be mutter is when the child is so young that there's no sexual attraction whatsoever, and therefore Shena b'kiruv basar is aser. And again, the details of this we'll see in the Gemara, but the basic idea is that when the child develops, and even though it's a close relative where we normally assume there's also no sexual attraction, but once there's some development of sexuality, so then the iser of kiruv basar kicks in. And we'll have to figure out what that is. Is that a gadar of tznias, or is it, or because there's no chash bia here, because we assume there's no chash bia with a father and a daughter, or maybe no. Normally we don't, but kiruv basar we do. And again, the gadarim of kiruv basar, so that's the gemara at the bottom of pei aleph amid beis, going on to the top of pei beis amid aleph. So we'll have a chance, Bezras Hashem, to discuss this aspect of the Mishnah when we get there. Okay. Let's start the Gemara. And then there's no clock in this room. It's a bad thing.
Huh. Or a good thing.
So we're going to try to start, once we're on that topic, we'll try to start. Rabbi Cohen always gives Musar at the beginning of his man that afternoon Seder doesn't start at 3 o'clock. As people might think, afternoon Seder starts right after Mincha. So obviously we can't start right after Mincha. You don't want to have to rush out of Mincha, but we'll try to start whenever Mincha ends, you know, a couple of minutes afterwards. And that way you'll get a full afternoon Seder. And I don't think, I wrote down 3:30. It's an approximation. I don't want to go on too long now because I want you to have a chance to learn the sugyos before we have a chance to do it. But let's at least read the Gemara, since I assume you all saw that. My time up. Tana debay Eliyahu, ho'il menashim daitan kalos alein. So my time up, Rashi explains, means lo yisyached im shtei nashim, ki isha shemis yachedes im shnei nashim. So the Gemara asks, in its first question, what is the reason for the discrepancy between men and women? There should be equality. So if there's a discrepancy, we have to figure out what's the cause for this discrepancy. So what's interesting is that the Gemara does not begin with the question that you might have thought it would begin with. The next question, Menani Mili, how do we even know that there should be an Isser Yichud in the first place? We start off with a technical question on the Mishnah, and then the next line in the Gemara we ask, not really, we seem to ask the basic question in terms of what is the basis for this whole Isser Yichud in the first place. So what does that tell us about this? Is it just because... first we read the Mishnah, we have this obvious question on our mind, so we need to sort of get that off the agenda, get that off the table, we'll ask the basic question, we'll solve the basic question, and then once we've solved the basic question, once we've solved the obvious question, the troublesome question, then we get to the basic question. Or no, perhaps, the Chachmas Adam makes this diuk, you'll have a chance to see what he does with it, perhaps, it's only after we've addressed this first question about the discrepancy between one and two that we then are troubled by the basic question. So you'll have a chance to see what he does with that diuk when you see it. I mentioned in terms of Sfarim, so you should, besides the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch, so one additional sefer that we'll have a chance to use a lot is the Chachmas Adam. Chachmas Adam is the Chai Adam on Yaradeya, more or less. Even though this isn't in Yaradeya, this is Evan HaEzer, but yes, it's non Or HaChayim. It's not strictly along those lines. And we'll see that, like in many aspects of Halacha, the Psakim of the Chai Adam are weighed very heavily by the Poskim. I don't know if we say he's the bottom line in every question, but he's definitely a very important posik, and he also has a number of topics which he's marchiv on. So another excellent resource to use along the way. And again, when you're done, you might just want to go through it straight. It's not very long. You could do the whole thing in probably less than an hour. It's an important source. Anyway, so he has a very interesting diuk in terms of that question. So Rashi explains, Daitan kala lehen v'shtein nochos lehispatos. Again, Rashi, as he said on the Mishnah, that the concern here is pitui. Daitan kalos is not a comment on intelligence whatsoever. Rather, it relates more to pitui. It might reflect a broader topic. I don't think this is the context to discuss, but some of the Bali Machshava and Bali Musar talk about how this idea of Nashim being Daitam Kalos in the sense of being easily swayed relates more generally to the way that generally, again, not always, but generally women think, women come to decisions and the like, and the truth is it's a midah that both has very positive aspects and elements to it, and also potentially very negative elements, as we see in this context. So then the Gemara turns to, as we said, the basic question, Menani Mili, how do we know that there is an Isser Yichud in the Torah? Here there is an Isser Yichud at all. There's no explicit pasuk, as we'll see. So Amar Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rav Yishmael, Remez LeYichud Min HaTorah Minayin. So the key word in this sentence is Remez. What does Remez indicate? Could mean a number of things. Remez might imply that it's an asmachta, and that the Isser Yichud is only Aser Midoraisa, and only Aser Midorabanan. Or it could mean it's an asmachta, but the true source is not the pasuk. The true source is a halacha l'Moshe miSinai. The Rambam tells us that there are many times where the Gemara asmachtas could fall into one of two categories. One type of asmachta is where we have a din dirabanan and we look for an asmachta in the psukim. Why do you have asmachtas? The Rambam happens to think that they're a form of mnemonics. When you were reading the psukim, you'll remember this halacha. You'll think about it. Perhaps other Rishonim, there's a famous Ritva about this, think that an asmachta might indicate that it's a more severe din derabanan, and perhaps, though this isn't the meaning of the pasuk in a way that's sufficiently explicit or concrete to create a halacha that's binding midoraisa, but still it is intended to some degree by the Torah, and therefore we would treat that din derabanan more chamor. So that's one type of asmachta. The more standard asmachta, usually when you hear the term asmachta, what that tells you is this is a din derabanan with an asmachta. However, the Rambam writes that there's another type of asmachta. Sometimes you will have a halacha l'Moshe miSinai, but halacha l'Moshe miSinai means something, a din, that we know because Hashem told Moshe at Sinai. So, though not identical to a din d'oraisa, presumably equally binding. However, there's no textual allusion to it. At least the simple reading of the psukim do not allude to this idea at all. It's not even what the Rambam calls a peyush mekubal. Peyush mekubal is where we have a mesorah about what the pasuk means. It's only with the mesorah that we would know what it means, but the mesorah is about the meaning of a pasuk, like ayin tachas ayin being mamon or the like. So sometimes you have cases where we have halachos that are halacha l'Moshe miSinai, but the Gemara goes ahead and tries to find a source for it. But these are asmachtas. They're not the real source. The real source is the Mesorah. So, for example, with respect to what an esrog is, or what some of the other arba aminim are. The Gemara in Sukkah goes ahead and has asmachtos. At least that's the way the Rambam understands the Gemara. There's an asmachta of what it means. That's not the source. And there's no machlokas about it. The source is Mesora. So it could be that Remez does imply it's an asmachta, but it doesn't mean that it's a din de Rabbanan, a takana de Rabbanan. No, maybe it's a halach lamoshe misinai, and we're looking for an asmachta. So that's two possibilities of what Remez might mean. Or perhaps Remez refers to a din de oraisa. Ramban argues in his Sefer HaMitzvos, on the Sasagan Sefer HaMitzvos, that there are many places where the term Remez does refer to dinim deoraisa. There are 100% deoraisa. This is a full-fledged Rasha. Maybe we use the term Remez because it's not the Pshuto Shel Mikra, as the Gemara is going to note over here. The Pshuto Shel Mikra of this Pasuk is something quite different than the Remez that we're about to say. However, Remez certainly has that possibility of being a full-fledged Indoraisa. So the term Remez, Leichud Min HaTorah, is one that leaves open a number of possibilities in terms of what it might mean. Okay, so we're out of time today. So what are we going to talk about tomorrow? So one thing we'll talk about, Bezras Hashem, is this question that we just began discussing, is whether the Isser Yichud is Deoraisa or Derabanan. This is a very important question. In general, you have to know whether something is also Deoraisa or Derabanan, but we will see that there are also many, many nafkaminas that will emerge from whether or not it's a Din Deoraisa or Din Derabanan, as we'll see that there are times that Yichud is Asser Deoraisa, there are times that it's Asser Derabanan, we might treat those differently. So because I didn't print out my makomos for you to look at, I'm going to tell you them outside, and then maybe I'll email them to you. What to see on this topic. So, you should see the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Lamed Vav Amud Beis. You don't have to get into the details of the Gemara over here, which might bring you to other issues that we need not discuss. Really, the Gemara, the sugya starts. It's a topic of Pas Akum and Shemen Akum and Yain Akum, and the Gemara asks what the source for this is. And this Gemara, as you'll see, even if you only superficially read the Gemara in terms of the other aspects like Pas Akum and the like, but in terms of its discussion of Yichud, is very, very telling in terms of whether Yichud is Asur Midorais or Midorabanan. There's also a relevant sugya in Sanhedrin, Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, the sugya Suga Bashoshanim, and take a look at Tosas over there. The Gemara over there discusses that there's no Isser Yichud, generally speaking, with a man and his wife, even when she is a Nida. And the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Shir HaShirim as to why that's mutter. Tosfos and the other Rishonim address the question of how we can derive an exception to an Isser De'orais of Yichud from a Pasuk in Shir HaShirim. So take a look at that Gemara in Tosfos. One of the major questions Rishonim on this topic is Shitas HaRambam. It's Perek Chaf Beis Halacha Beis. Rambam uses a very interesting lashon of Isser Yichud Harayos Mepi Kabbalah. What does Mepi Kabbalah mean? So the question is, what does the word Mepi, just like Remez might have multiple meanings in the Gemara, so Mepi Kabbalah can have multiple meanings in the Rambam. So you could look at, if you want, other places where the Rambam uses the term Mepi Kabbalah. What does it mean? Again, I don't know if you need to see this, but if you're interested, the Rambam discusses this in not Yichud, but the meaning of the word Remez in Sefer Mitzvos and Sharash Gimel, and I mentioned the Ramban on that as well. And if you want to look more into that, you could also look at the Leiv Sameach. Well, Maisa, the poskim disagree what the Rambam held, whether it's Deraisa or Derabanan. The Smag quoted in the Yamshel Shlomo over here, Simen Chaf has one view. The Trumas Hadeshen also has a view in the Rambam, whether Yichud is Deraisa or Derabanan. The Trumas Hadeshen is Simen Reish Mem Beis, if you want to take a look at it. You could also look at the Gaon on Shulchan Aruch. He also seems to adapt a view. The Gaon is Sif Katan Dalet. Again, everything, when I refer to the Rambams in Mishnah Torah, it's all in one parak. It's all in Isurei Bia Parak Chav Beis. And when I refer to Shulchan Aruch, unless I tell you otherwise, it's all in Simen Chav Beis. If you want, also you could look the Menchas Chinuch and Simen Kuf Pei Ches. Also, you should see the sheet of the Sefer Chinuch. He also has a very interesting sheet on Yichud being Deraisa or Derabanan. If you want to get a little radical, take a look at the Tatnas Paneach on this halacha. Yisrei Be'achaf Aleph Dalad. Smak. Again, it's quoted. You'll see. For those of you who haven't learned halacha so much, so you'll see that there are a whole slew of rishonim that you might not ordinarily see if you learn al pi seder hadaf, but in halacha they're very important. Smag, smak, Rabbeinu Yerucham. Each sugya has sort of its own rishonim that play a more important role. So. And again, if you want to see more about that in terms of halacha, take a look at the Chachma Sadam. You could take a look at the Achronim that are quoted in a sefer like the Divrei Sofrim and the like. Another question we'll discuss is, what exactly is this remez in the Torah? Again, if you don't have a chance to see all this by tomorrow, use your discretion. Those who have a chance to see more, you'll see more. Those who have a chance not to see more, so you'll either miss it or I'll quote what some of it in Shir. But anyway, the understanding the drush of this Gemara is actually quite unclear what this remez is, even if it's only a mesmach. And certainly, if it's a drush of Gemura, is very, very cryptic. So, the Yad Rahman Sanhedrin, Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, discusses it. He might add a little more to Rashi. There is a Pnei Yeshua on our Gemara who goes in a totally different direction. He thinks that, I guess, the standard approach of the Gemara is so implausible that he takes it in an entirely different direction, which is quite interesting. Again, if you have a chance, you might want to look at it. And the like. So that's in terms of the issue of Deraisa Derabanan. Related to this topic, something we'll also hopefully discuss tomorrow, is the question of whether it's, assuming it is a Deraisa, so it's a very unusual type of Deraisa, presumably, because it seems to be a Siag. Presumably. Maybe not. That's another interesting question to think about. To what extent is the Isser Yichud an Isser Atzmi, like an independent Isser, or is it a Gzera? And if it's a Gzera, is it a Gzera Deraisa? Is it a Gzera Derabanan? Is there such a thing as Gzeras Deraisas? This too is a major discussion. For those who like these types of things, there's a famous shtickle from Rav Yosef Engel. It's in Lekach Tov Klal Ches. He comes up with 18 examples of Gzeras Deraisa. And if that wasn't enough for you, some of the Achronim add to the list. So if it is an Isser Deraisa, and if you assume that it is a Gzeira, then it's a Gzeira Deraisa. And also, that's an important thing to think about. Is that just like a quirk, you know, it's interesting, or does that have applications? It might. Many Achronim think that the principle of Ein Gozrin Gzeira L'Gzeira applies not just to Gzeres Derabanan, but even Gzeres Deraisa. There might be significant evidence for that in the Rambam, which is a fascinating idea, and will obviously play out in a practical way in Hilchos Yichud. Could we have Gzeres to Gzeros? The other place to look at, I guess the most relevant place to look at for this topic, outside of Yichud, but in the Rambam, therefore most related to Yichud, is Yisrei Bia Perek Chaf Aleph Halacha Aleph, where we talk about the Lo Sikrevu and the Gdarim, is Negiah, an Issa D'Oraisas, an Issa D'Rabbanan, or the like. Maybe if we finish Hilchos Yichud early, we'll do some, related such topics. We'll go from Siman Chaf Beis to Siman Chaf Aleph, or Perek Chaf Beis to Perek Chaf Aleph. We talk about some of those interesting questions. And the source in Chazal, perhaps, for the idea of an Issa Yichud D'Oraisas devices in the Avos Rabbi Nasan Perek Beis. Also, if you want to look at the Ramban, who disagrees with the Ramban on that, it's Lo Sase, Shinnun Gimel, and elsewhere. Okay, so that's an important discussion as well. And again, when you see that Gemara of Avodah Zarah, another important thing we'll think about is the question of the evolution of the Issur of Yichud. There are examples of that are certainly the Rabbanan, and when they happened and why they happened and the like. So I guess we're not going to get past that tomorrow, so I won't tell you anymore. Hopefully, again, today, as we go through the Lim, you know, I said the mile of it is it's a very small sugya that's self-contained. But despite that, or maybe partially because of that, everything is totally on everything else. Which means at the beginning of the Limud, it is a little frustrating because, you know, like you saw today, we want to discuss the shayla of the gader of one man and two women, but it's going to relate to five other gemaras and just in Hilchos Yichud that are going to be relevant. So you have to have a little patience for that. But because it's so small, you don't have to have that much patience. In other words, within a week, we'll hopefully have seen all the gemaras at the very least and the like. So as we go on in the limud, it'll be a little fewer open-ended questions and more clear-cut conclusions. Okay, so everybody should do Salzacha. Now, so before you leave, do two things. Number one is write down your name and email so we could send you things. And two is, I know almost everybody, but not everybody. So, and I don't know, does everybody know everybody? So you know, yeah? No. Okay, so you know what? I know this isn't like very yeshivish, but maybe it's kedai for everybody to at least introduce yourselves and your name, and I don't know, maybe where you're from and how long you've been here, just so everybody has knows everybody a little bit. I am, if you want to talk in learning and the like, I'm morning Seder in the Ezra's Nashim, afternoon Seder in the first floor. I am also teaching your day in the afternoon, so I'm giving chaburas basically every day now. It's supposed to be twice a week, but we're behind schedule. So at 5:30, and but anyway, you're welcome to talk. I do think it's kedai that for everyone here to maybe try to think that you'll probably be able to pull it off, unfortunately, in terms of space, but to learn in the same area. That way, there'll be pilpul chaverim, and you can ask, again, welcome to ask me questions, ask each other questions, and take advantage of that. So, assuming you don't yet have mekom hosts, maybe everybody, I guess at least on the first floor of Gluck, and wherever, well, I don't care where it is, but I think it is kedai to try to sit near each other. And also, that's actually important. So everybody will introduce themselves, and also let us know if you need a chavrusa, or you're looking for a chavrusa. That way, if there are people here who don't have a chavrusa, you can find each other. Okay.
Hey, I'm from New Jersey, and this is my end of my second year here.
And you have a chavrusa.
Okay. My name is Meisher Hoffman. I'm from Lawrence, New York. It's my first year.
And chavrusa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Robert Zerinsky from Denver, Colorado, second year, and I'm not looking for a chavrusa.
Okay.
Norman Pfeiffer. From
Tina, New Jersey.
I just finished my second year and I have a
Harusa
brush.
Yeah,
Glavinger
from Silver Springs, Maryland. Just finished my first year and I have a Harusa.
Okay, great.
Yoni Kram, once in New York. I just finished my first year, and I do a course.
Kram?
Kram.
Okay. How do you spell that?
K-R-A-M.
Okay, it's no attendance, just there.
Sure. Noah Marlowe from Stanford, Connecticut. Just finished my first year. We don't have a Chavusa, and also
okay.
Aaron Akakian from Houston, Texas. I just finished my fourth year, and I'm now
looking. You're not looking. Okay. How do you spell your last name?
H-A-K-A-K-I-A-N.
Okay.
Shai Devanesky, UTN. Just finished my second year, and I think I'm okay on the Chavrusa.
Elliot Fuchs, also from Athena. Just finished my first year here, and I'm not looking for a Chavrusa.
Mark Eichelblum, just finished my third year from Washington, New York, and not looking for a Chavrusa.
Okay, so good. So at least we're all set with the Chavrusas. I do plan, if anyone has to miss a shiur or whatever it is, to post them. And we'll see. We'll see about Sunday if we'll have shiur 4 times a week or 5 times a week. I guess when we get closer, we'll discuss that on Thursday. Okay. All right. Hatzlacha Rabba to everyone.
In your email.
Yes.